Hey, what's up there, Toku Tribe? It's your favorite duo, Jeff and Ross here, and we've got something epic to share with you.
That's right, folks. Get ready to dive deep into the world of tokusatsu with our fan-fueled podcast.
Join us on Discord, it's Henshin Time.
TikTok at HenshinTime75.
Our Instagram, _HenshinTime_, and
Facebook, it's Henshin Time for all the toku talk you can handle.
Welcome back to another episode of Henshin Time. I'm Jeff.
I'm Ross.
And today we're talking about our double feature, Bakugei Sentai Boon Boonger and
Kamen Rider Gotchard.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Bakugei 6, White and Black.
White should have been Black and White.
Yeah.
It literally was another one of his episodes.
Yeah. So this episode, basically, I'm going to say, is just a skeptic episode. I mean, so we know Joe just joined the team, and his dedication is to protect the people of Japan, or of his township. Town, of township, and to be the protector of the Boon Boongers, which is a huge responsibility. You know, and it's a responsibility that is kind of outhanded, I guess. I would say it's kind of reaching too far. And if you were to hear someone say, oh, I'm going to protect the heroes, like, what?
He's got a hero complex, I think is what it seems. But in a more mild manner way.
Yeah, I'm just going to say Ishiro was very skeptical about this. So this entire episode is basically them following him around, trying to see what his true motives are. And Ishiro tells Mira that there's something behind what he says he's passionate about, and that they're going to discover a secret. And at that moment, because they're walking down the street, kind of tailing him,
yeah,
in his head, he sees Joe turn around smirking, going, and it's funny.
I just found something that kind of cracked me up. I just looked at Boone's name.
Mm-hmm.
Bundorio Bunderas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Antonio Banderas. God damn it. I didn't realize. I always thought his name was Boone. I forgot his original name. I just saw it and I was like, what?
Yeah, so this episode also shows Taya fulfilling his agreement now to the ISIR.
And you get to see a thing in the space, which makes sense now.
You do. But it's to his advanced targeting system. So, like, it allows them to detect what comes into Earth before it happens. So, like, the aliens that come to Earth, the Hashalians that come to Earth before they do. It's their alert system, basically. It's their viewing globe.
Okay, Alpha.
But we do get to see a new villain.
I mean, I'm going to call him a general.
Yeah.
He just seems like he's above Decatoraid and Tashita.
Yeah. Decatoraid and Tashia?
Itasha.
It's Mad Rex. And I'm going to say he, at first glance, he comes in like a bat out of hell, basically. But really from the sky, from heaven.
He crashes.
From the skies. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Mad Rex.
And his little dog.
And his little dog that is attached to his costume.
That says Wana.
Yeah.
Banana Wana or something like that.
Something like that. Bawana Wana or Bawa Bawa Bawa.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the Japanese.
It's their like Bow Wow, but like Bawa Bawa Bawa.
Just the subtitles said banana.
Yeah. But
Wana.
It's his actual title is Charge Team Captain Mad Rex.
Yeah,
so he is a team captain. So he's like the captain of like the two, I guess. I really don't know. We don't know yet. All we know is he's a captain. But Joe leaves the police station going off duty for the day, notifying his supervisor, Officer Asada. So we get his his co-worker's name, Asada. Might not be relevant in the future, might be, who knows. But he goes around kind of doing good deeds, right? And you see it because he goes to the mart like the shopping mart.
Yeah,
the and district. He says hi to all the people that he knows that he's helped while in police, you know, on while he was on duty as a police officer. And they're just handing him stuff. One, a lady handed him tempura because, like, freshly cooked tempura because he helped her, what was it, nail down a board?
I think something with a sign.
It might have been with a sign. And then another guy comes up with some baguettes and is like, eat them while they're hot. And he's like, thanks for nailing down that board, you know, for me. And then she's, the lady's like, hey, can you help me fix my kitchen? He's like, yeah, just call me anytime. Then you get two muscle heads, and this is hilarious. They come up and he's like, you told him to start working out on arms. He's got the biggest arms. And it makes that metal clinging sound like ding. And then, and then that guy's like, you told him to work on abs. Look at his abs. And they actually show his abs.
Well,
and he's like, ding.
You can tell they're gym bros because he's like, the other guy goes to, literally taps on his muscle. He's like, look at this. And then goes to the other guy and lifts up his shirt and goes, ding. He's got abs. I'm like, oh.
Definitely gym bros. And so, like, they're all like, bye. So it's very, it's that friendly neighborhood helper.
Yeah.
The man or the person. Town. Yeah. The man of the town, right? He helps all the people of the town. And Ishiro is very skeptical about this. And Mira's like, you see, they love him.
Yeah, he thinks
he's too Ishiro's good. Like, nah, there's something behind this guy.
Because he's an information gatherer? Or...
Yeah. So he's a procurer of information. Yes. So he's basically a spy. He gathers the information. But introduction to Mad Rex comes in on Earth, and he's basically looking for the Boon Boongers, but with the help of his pup, like the little dog.
Which is weird because it doesn't do anything.
It just sits there. It's. I'm assuming it's a tracker.
Yeah, that's
it tracks. And so what he does is he goes to the women's rest. He goes to the men's restroom, then women's restroom. Sees the toilet, puts the ignition key in it, and it makes a toilet monster. Now this toilet monster
has a really bad name.
Yeah.
A little simple name, Toilet Grummer.
Yeah, Toilet Grummer, and
it's an auto toilet.
It's actually voiced by someone who's voiced tons of stuff. Tetsu Kimishima? Kimishima. Look, it's okay. He's done quite a bit of stuff, but...
Don't get crappy.
Yeah. His ability, Toilet Grummer, is... So he has weapons, right? So his weapon is a plunger. Okay. He literally looks like a toilet. Like, I told Ross, I was like, man, this is going to create nightmares for children to use the bathroom. Like, you know, as a kid, you ever been scared? I have never been, but, like, I've seen, like, animated TV shows that had, like, toilets with mouths, and they would talk, and there would be teeth on it. That's what this is. It's basically an auto toilet that is a bidet, because it also, like, when he flushes, it sprays out water, and... Everybody just be letting out the dirt, the tea, the gossip, their true feelings,
that's
right?
That's his whole motive.
Right. It's like their true wrong, motives, though. Like their true feelings. And so Ishiro is thinking later on in the, because I don't want to spoil the whole thing, but Ishiro's thinking, like, I can use this against Joe. And so it targets Mira, and Joe runs and stands in front of her saying, like, screaming, I'll protect the Boon Boongers. And that's when he kind of, like, slouches, and then he clenches his hand, and then we get that build-up music. And he's like, I'm going to protect the people of this town, and I'm going to protect the Boon Boongers. And he gets fired up. He gets cranked up. And Mira and Ishiro are like, the fuck? Like, Mira already knew, like, that's his true feelings, okay? Yeah. But it shocked Ishiro very much. And then Ishiro gets hit by it. And then he turns into a sad sack that's like, please forgive me for ever doubting you. You know, you're the cleanest shade of black I've ever seen. That's literally what he says. But it's funny because they have this bro moment. It's like, Ishiro gets down and begs for forgiveness, and then Joe gets down and is like, let's fight this together. Like, let's save the earth together. And so they have this whole bro handshake moment. They're fighting together. Their movements are in sync. And then Taya is still off fighting, though, Mad Rex in this process.
Which is an archetypical trope.
Correct. But we... Well, I guess it is. Like, the new general always fights the red.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it reminded me of? The Power Rangers Samurai when Decker...
Same.
Oh, is that the same. Immediate... that's my brain immediate went thought? Right
there. My brain was like, oh, he's Red's rival now.
Yeah.
So they're always going to be sparring, always going to want to pick a fight with him.
Yeah, but we do get to see Gimba in this part. He's got his lollipop. Boon Orange. Gimba is his name. Gimpa.
I thought that was somebody else.
No, Gimpa is his, like, his...
He's also in the opening credits now.
Yeah, Gimba Boriki is in the opening credits now, and...
Just not in the
show. It's really cool because he kind of uses something to his trope, because he's construction.
A manhole cover.
He basically rolls it to Taya, and during, like, Mad Rex's big finish that he's trying to kill Boon Red,
mm-hmm.
and he attaches it to his...
He picks it up basically, and attaches it.
No, I would say he basically Captain America'd it,
mm-hmm.
because it like, auto-attached, and then he spun it. And created a huge spin with it, basically, which redirected the attack.
He has got a lot of cool like attacks in that battle.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it was really cool when he did the power up, mm-hmm. but it boosted. It put the tires on his back.
Yeah, he had like hover jets.
Yeah, it was like hover jets, and then he used tire jets. But it was also on his feet, so that was really cool.
Says, "Woof! I can fly.
I'm a bird
at low gravity."
But yeah, so this episode was really, really cool. It really just bonded Black and Ichiro, because I feel like Ichiro's always going to have that skepticism.
He's more
because that's his character. Yeah, he's like, we're gonna tread lightly, and we're gonna fact check you. So I think that's gonna be a thing for him throughout the series. Maybe the character development will change. We don't know. But I will say the fight scenes in this were really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was more centered around the story, which I don't mind.
No.
It was really good. I liked it. This episode's a build up to next episode.
Yeah, because it's a two-parter.
But it's centered around Mad Rex coming to Earth.
A new rival yeah. arrives.
And then it's funny because why did he have to go away? I forget why he had to go. Because
the dog had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, which was the whole trope to the episode. Yeah, the dog had to go to the bathroom. He's like, time to walk the dog.
or the toilet humor in this show.
Yeah, but the mech battle was really cool, though. Oh, yeah. The mech battle was the same as the last episode, but like it was... I don't know. It was just something more, because it was more of a bonding moment for the characters. Like, I like the character development that we're getting in this episode. It does remind me of, and I told Ross this too, it reminds me of the original Sentais, when like you get a bad guy, okay, you guys are now powerful enough to probably take it up a level, right? And this is usually in all Sentais, but more towards like the older ones, you don't really know who the true bad guy is until towards the end, right? And we haven't seen that in a while. And I like that aspect. So we got the next guy in rank, and it seems like they're all going to be coming to Earth in the rank, most likely. So, Mad Rex. But next episode does feature and shows Gimba henching to Boon Orange. So I'm super excited. We also get the mech. Ugh, construction mech. It looks so good. I'm so excited for the toy releases.
He's got his Hot Wheel carrier too now.
There's no carrier yet. They haven't dropped one yet. You know, shut up.
It's gonna be an Optimus Prime version.
It's
gonna be a Boon trailer.
I mean, that's already what Boon. That what are you talking about? That's what Boon is. He is a trailer.
It's just gonna be the trailer back of him.
And next, we have Kamen Rider Gotchard.
Oh, jeez. This one was good and bad. This was basically... It was Taro and everybody's back at school after a three-month summer. It's called
Hitaro's harem.
Pretty much. But they're back from the summer vacation, which was exciting. Ichinose, Rin, and Kajiki are all back. And they're like, oh, we're all in class again. It's like, yeah. And it's just like, what am I going to do with you, Kajiki? So they have that kind of typical school moments. And we get to meet the new girl in class. And it's Hataro's childhood friend?
Yes.
Who ends up crushing on him like a fangirl? And the stuff just builds further. It's almost as if some of this was most driven on Hataro's love triangle, or rather, should I say, love square, because we know that this girl's got a crush on him. He's kind of like, oh no, I don't know about girls yet. And even Kajiki's like, dude, go for it, man. When you fall in love, you fall in love. It's like, when did Kajiki become the player on the team? And then it's like, so they go and do a cultural, their cultural council drama club guy is trying to throw some kind of play. So he tries to do the Romeo and Juliet play. So Hataro and all of them say, hey, we'll help you. We're all friends. And so it's like, okay, well, who's going to be Romeo? Obviously, Hataro's got to be Romeo because he's the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, we need to cast Juliet.
Kajiki.
That was a scene in itself, because it's just like, okay, so everybody's like, oh, it's going to be Kudo because they're best pals.
Right.
And Kajiki's like, no, I thought I was going to be. And then that's when Hataro's her childhood friend shows up and says, no, Sina. And says, Senna? No, Senna,
yeah.
However you want to pronounce it. Says, no, I'm in love with Hataro. Let me play Juliet so I can be close to him. I mean, her feelings are out on the table. Nobody can deny that she's in love.
Right.
Fast forward a little bit, and we get some shocking revelations when they're at the kitchen at Ichinose.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
turns out that, and now I think I keep forgetting her name.
Senna?
No, it's Renege.
Oh yeah,
she's the unrequited love, or she hasn't confessed it, but she's not gonna show it.
Yeah, because she says we can't love the same person,
and that's not, it's all in her head though. She's not actually saying that.
Yeah, but as a fan, you're like, what?
And then you get mom. The mom comes out and she meets the old childhood sweetheart and talking about how back when they were little kids, the mom to promise to her that Hataro and her would get married at some time. It's like, oh my lord. I get childhood sweethearts.
Yep.
But for you to hang on to it that long, you must really love this dude.
Look, my grandmother, very Korean lady, wanted me to marry her best friend's daughter, who's also Korean. So I was like, oh, two, you know, they're going to be married. That's not happening.
So as the mom's talking about to them, it's like, well, why isn't Kudo playing Juliet? She's obviously the logical choice. Mm-hmm. And then you get the whole, oh, she has that kind of nervous twitch with her hand. It's like, oh, great. Now we've got three girls that all like Hataro. It's like, Kajiki's going to be like, what the hell, dude? It's like, you can't have your harem. We're in high school.
He's a senior, though.
Yeah, they're high school seniors. So
not illegal.
Technically, Kamen Rider Gotchard actually became a Japanese high school rom-com.
Basically.
It's like, come on, guys. And then, so then you get to the fun parts after all the drama pieces. Mineto is talking to Lachesis because she's now on their side, and Atropos is kind of taking over Grayon's, I'm going to make the monsters and fight you guys, because she lost her father and wants to get him back, so she's sicking the monster, her brothers and the Kami fusions with Jeffrey's favorite golden Rubik's Cube.
Oh, yeah.
And then we get to one of the third sister, I guess, or one of the two older sisters breaks in and is like, you have Lachesis under brain control. I don't know what you did. And then there's a whole battle. Spanner steps up.
Oh, yeah. And
owns that battle to a point where he almost shot her in the, both of them in the face. Well, he shot one of them in the face with his gun. And Mineto had to be told to, hey, you need to break up this fight because it's going to get bad and we don't want to kill anybody.
Well, wasn't it because Clotho?
Clotho.
She steps in, yeah. And it's cool, because she steps in, she's like,
Lachesis stepped in.
Lachesis steps in, and she says, stop calling us freaks. Yeah. And then he's and Spanner's like, if you don't move out of the way, I'm going to blow you both away.
Yeah.
And he goes up to her, and I don't think Magneto needed to intervene, but like, because you could see his hesitation.
Yeah.
Because it may be a fan thing for me, but like, I want to see Spanner and Lachesis together.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen.
It's Clotho's the one that... I think it's Clotho.
No.
Clotho's the one that she... The one
little
that
girl.
No, that's Atropos.
Oh, Atropos. Clotho's the crazy one.
She's the one that wants to kick the crap out of,
yes,
out of Velvron.
Right, but...
Oh, you're saying the two sisters are kind of...
No, I'm saying Lachesis...
Yeah, she's the one that defected.
Correct. Has a thing for...
Spanner.
We saw it before, right? Yeah. We saw that little moment.
I thought it was the other one. I thought it was
Clotho.
Clotho, because she always seemed to be the one that was always. She's out of the three sisters of Grayon's so-called daughters.
Right.
You've got the I want to make Dad happy, or I want to take care of Dad.
Yeah.
You have the stubborn child who's like, I'm doing this for Dad, and then you got the sister who's doing her own thing.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
It's like you got two families kind of going in here. You have
one.
Grayon and his kids. Because they're technically his kids.
Yes.
And then you have Hetaro and his family with his extended family. Because his friends are his family.
Yeah.
But the whole episode is just worth watching just for the Kamen-Rider battles.
Correct.
Because if you're not a Sentai or a Rider fan, you don't enjoy the battles.
And I will say, it made me mad because it ended...
So the to be continued?
To be continued, we didn't get any closure because the childhood friend was frozen solid. That's all I'm saying. Because
it was told that Rin...
Yes.
...said to attack her, which...
Which was her malice, really.
Yeah. She fed off her malice and found out that she wanted Hataro's child love to be frozen. It's a love triangle, became a square, that the bad girl from the outside went and was like, oh, I can use it to my bidding.
Yeah.
Because she wants to get her dad out of... We're calling it the gate of hell. Because whatever the hell that was that came out, that was a demon arm. But... Yeah, that was a two-part for Bakugé and two-part for Gotchard. So still no new forms. Hopefully we'll get some new forms in the next episode. But we actually have a shout out question from our Discord feed from Trust Issues off of our Discord. As Jeffrey goes to the Discord feed, Trust Issues asks, your favorite Super Sentai season of all time? I mean, right off the bat, I'm telling you, mine is Die Ranger. Because of the way the series ended, with evil always needing to be met with a good force.
Right. Oh, the way it ended. Yeah, for sure. That was a good story. I want to say, man, Die Ranger did have a really good storyline.
Yeah.
That captured an audience beyond what I thought they were going to. But for me, I'm going to say it's between two. Okay. And it always has been. Kaku Ranger is really good. Okay, I love Kaku Ranger as not only the story, the fighting, the cinematography. It's actually a mix between three. It's hard to pick. Like, okay, the one I have consistently watched over and over is Go Ranger, Kaku Ranger, and Shinkinger. But, you know, I'm a huge fan of Shinkinger because, you know, we got a bear. That might be the reason in both Kaku and Shinkinger, because there's a bear in there. But I do thoroughly enjoy the comedy in Kaku Ranger while still the drama.
Oh, yeah.
And Shinkinger has a lot of that same aspects. And I tend to fall into that line where the cinematography speaks for the action that happens. It might not be huge action like Kamen Rider, like someone getting thrown into space. But, like, it just, I just can't put it in words. And I've always had this issue with
He's a Super Sentai guy.
I love Super Sentai.
it's like asking him to pick his favorite child. They're all his
Sometimes
favorite.
You could do that. I don't know.
Like if his place was on fire, he'd be grabbing all of his stuff. Just going, oh, I don't need clothes. I got my stuff.
Well, I'd grab my Sentai stuff for sure, well, and then my dog.
Well, your dog already would be the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People in houses on fire.
Like, where the fuck is my dog?
But thanks for the question, Trust Issues.
Yeah.
And for those of you that do join our Discord, I will send out a note before we start recording. So if you want to sneak a question in while we're recording.
Absolutely.
We'll give you a shout out, and we'll answer your question. It's what makes some of these episodes a little bit more fun when we bring everybody else.
Yeah, we bring the fandom into it, and that's what we want to do. We want to make this a community, yep. And like of like no judgment, you know, because we all obviously, if you're listening, you like tokusatsu stuff, Kamen Rider, Super Sentai. It doesn't matter, Godzilla, freaking Sailor Moon. I don't know what other ones there are and besides that. Metal Heroes, ask them.
I mean, we're doing it all for you, but on that little fun little note that Jeffrey liked to drop in there with Godzilla, I actually had a weird moment of, while I was at work the other day, I have an idea for season 7. None.
What?
I think I know where we're going. And that's a wrap on another episode of Henshin Time. We hope you enjoyed geeking out with us as much as we enjoyed geeking out with each other.
And we did. Remember, whether you're a longtime fan or a newcomer to the world of tokusatsu, there's always something new to discover and appreciate. So keep exploring, keep watching, and keep listening.
If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platforms. It helps us grow and reach more listeners and keep the conversation going.
And thanks for tuning in, and until next time, it's Henshin Time!